You're listening to the Food Talk Show on channelradio.co.uk. It's the Food Talk Show on Channel Radio with me, Paul Andrews, and the fabulous Christy Ellis. We're also joined in the studio today by Harry Wall, who was one of the team on our recent pop-up studio at the Allergy Show. Oh, so good afternoon. Welcome to the Food Talk Show here on Channel Radio with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Christy Ellis. Hello, Christy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's good to see you, and we've been having loads of fun, have we not?
We have. I'm absolutely stuffed.
Me too. Listeners, we spent kind of the weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Not all of us. I didn't do the 3 days.
Part-timer.
Yeah, part-timer me. But we spent, as a team, we spent a lot of time at Olympia in West London at the Allergy and Free From show.
We did indeed. And what a show it was.
It was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, have you had any feedback on it yet, on the show overall?
Well, the official figures aren't in yet, but we have a little bit of an exclusive, and that's at 34,463 people
came on our stand.
Not on our stand. They visited over the weekend, and Saturday was the busiest day. Which day weren't you there, Paul?
I was there on Friday, wasn't I?
But that was really busy as well, wasn't it? We couldn't believe how many people were there.
Yeah. I mean, we got some great interview, didn't we?
Yeah.
We met loads of interesting people. And during the show today, we're going to play you a few of those interviews. And you can hear from some of the fabulous people we met while we were at the show. We're not going to play you all of them because there were lots and lots and lots. But we're going to play a selective few over the next couple of weeks. But it was a great show, wasn't it?
Really, really was. And I tasted some things that I never thought I'd taste.
I'm saying no more. Harry, don't say a word, mate.
It was the weird and wonderful world of interesting food.
Yeah, that is beyond any doubt at all. There was some stuff, none of the people that we interviewed, but I had a good walk around the exhibition and did a bit of tasting. And there was some stuff that I wouldn't go near again, I have to say.
Paul, you can't say that.
It was horrible.
Well, I enjoyed every single morsel.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Everything we tasted in the studio that we had there was brilliant.
I don't have a
problem with any of that. But when I was walking around, there was some dubious stuff. And I suppose because it depends on what your issues are, because it was a specialist show for people with food allergies and things like that.
And people that were interested in their diet in a different way. And I guess it's horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. You know, an omnivore pig, basically. I'll eat anything. So, you know.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, so telling me this is, you know, meat-free, vegetable-free, everything free. I go, yeah, whatever.
Some people were a little bit more health conscious. And I think that was one of the things that really came across in the show, wasn't it? That it wasn't just about allergies.
Yeah, that's true.
It was about some people making that choice and be that for ethical or diet reasons.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it wasn't necessarily because they had to, it's because they chose to and they wanted to eat more healthily.
And I thought it was quite nice speaking to some of those people, and also some of the solutions that are there for people. It's not as restrictive as perhaps it was in recent years. It seems to have grown. I think that shows the biggest one they've done yet.
I think you're absolutely right. And my mum, for instance, and some good friends of mine are gluten intolerant. And years ago, with gluten intolerance, if you went out to eat anywhere, you know, and you said, I can't do bread, they gave you a rice cake, and that was it. That was their entire effort at gluten-free. Yeah. Whereas the range of gluten-free food there was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, some of the bread, I mean, I don't know the breads on today that we interviewed that lady, but some of the bread was really good. I wouldn't know the difference.
Absolutely. Mm. And funnily enough, it's funny how it's kind of turned around. At the weekend was also my youngest son's 21st birthday, and my soon-to-be daughter-in-law baked him a chocolate cake, birthday cake.
All right.
And my mum went, oh, that looks lovely. A shame I can't eat it. She went, no, it's gluten-free. I always make gluten-free cakes.
Well, yeah.
And it was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it just shows you, you know, everyone can eat it. So it's good. So I tell you what, should we start off and hear it from a couple of the people that we met there?
Oh, yes, please.
Should we do that?
This is the Food Talk Show on Channel Radio with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Chrissy Ellis. We are here at the Allergy and Free From Show at Olympia in West London. We are on stand L221 and we are in the Love Natural Love You section.
We are indeed.
We are. And very nice it is too.
It is. And we've got a lovely guest here, haven't we?
We have. And we've got our first guest of the day, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Food Talk Show Dr. Marilyn Glenville. Marilyn, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Paul.
It's really nice to see you. You've got a range of your books here. Yes. And you were just telling me off air a little bit about you. So why don't you tell the listeners a bit about you, what you do? You're a nutritionist, I understand.
I'm a nutritionist and I specialise in women's health, although we do see men as well. But we have an expertise in women's health. Anything where there may be a hormonal problem like polycystic ovary syndrome, fibroids.
Like what, sorry?
Polycystic ovary syndrome.
Okay, right.
Fibroids, endometriosis, women going through the menopause who are struggling right. with the symptoms. We also see men and women as a couple who are aiming to get pregnant. Maybe okay. it's taking them a long time or they're going through IVF and they need a bit of help nutritionally to actually boost their fertility. So our passion is really using nutrition either for digestive problems, lowering cholesterol, anything to do, but also hormonal issues for women.
Okay, that's really fascinating. And I understand you're doing a series of talks here at the show?
I am. I'm speaking every day, Saturday right. 2 days as well. So I'm talking on some days on natural alternatives to sugar, which right. I've written a book, and it only came out in March. So
you've got a copy of the book here.
Yeah, you're
quite a prolific author.
I've written 14 books.
Wow. Yeah. That is fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the book, Natural Alternatives to Sugar.
Yeah, so I've been talking about this for a long time. I've been in the nutrition field now over 30 years, and I've always felt that sugar was the issue, not fat the problem.
Absolutely.
And that we've been going after the wrong food, and therefore we've still got an obesity crisis, type 2 diabetes crisis in the UK.
Yeah.
So I've gone into the sugar side of it, why it is negative, and not just the fact that it makes us overweight. It increases our risk of heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, as well as type 2 diabetes.
It's really interesting you say that. Personally, I don't actually like sugar. I don't have a sweet tooth at all, and I shy away from anything too sweet. And years ago, I lived in America, in the USA, and everything is sweet. Even the bread. I couldn't even eat the bread. It was just so sweet. And I really don't understand why we do that. But I guess one of the problems is we've now so used to it in our diet.
Yeah.
It's one of those things a lot of people have got hooked on.
And they've got hooked on that taste as well. And unfortunately, the problem is the hidden sugars. Like you said, it can be in bread, tomato ketchup, baked beans, spaghetti sauces. The problem is it's hidden in foods that everybody wouldn't even associate because they're savoury.
Absolutely.
So we're getting a huge amount of teaspoons of this hidden sugar every day.
Absolutely. So looking at the title of your book, I'm drawing a conclusion that there are some natural alternatives.
There are, and it, actually when I wrote the book, it was surprising because some of them that I thought were natural weren't as natural as I thought
really?
They were.
Okay.
Yes, and because they've been commercially produced, it means corners have been cut and they've been made differently to what they would have been traditionally. A good one is agave, where it would have been made from Mexico, would have been made from the sap of the plant and then boiled down for hours. Obviously they can't make a lot like that in terms of the volume.
No.
This is a lot of the problem, isn't it? Is that once we go into mass production of anything, it changes the nature of it. But one of the things we see a lot of on the Food Talk Show now is a lot of people returning to more organic, more naturally produced foods.
People are starting to think about it a little
And Chris is absolutely right. People are thinking about it more. They're prepared to spend a few more pennies on buying something that's been well produced but not mass produced.
Yeah.
And that, at long last, is a big breakthrough, and it will certainly help with this kind of thing.
Yeah, and then that's my feeling. It's for me, it's all about how something is, whether it's refined or not. How close is it to its natural state? That's what I'm after.
Yeah.
I know some things might be refined and the sweetness might be good for diabetics, but that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at it from the natural, the unrefined state, organic where possible, to go back to those roots and not have the refined foods that have a negative effect.
It was interesting, actually. I interviewed a couple of days ago a young lady that she provides tea, and somebody said, is it organic? And she said, well, not in the strict sense of organic as we mean it here, but it's actually uber organic because it's actually grown on the top of a mountain in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
So it has no pollutants in it at all because it's too high up.
Yeah.
And that's very true, isn't it?
Yeah. And oftentimes they might say it's wildcrafted because you can't put organic on that, but that would be even super organic.
Exactly,
it would
be. Absolutely. So Marilyn, you've got some other books here, and I just want to briefly touch on those. Fat Around the Middle, we'll skip over that.
it's been very popular, that one.
For some reason. Okay, we'll go with it. But they've obviously asked you on here to have a go at me about this. So what's the Fat Around the Middle all about?
Well, it's about being apple-shaped. It does affect men and women, and it is a more of a male pattern of weight gain, so you'd be more susceptible to put weight on around the middle anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
The trouble is, it's not a natural weight gain pattern for women. We're more pear-shaped.
Right.
And the trouble is, when your weight moves up around the middle of the body, it's very active.
Right.
The fat when it's on the hips just sits there. And I know women don't like it and do hip and thigh diets, but it isn't active fat. It's not metabolically active. The fat around the middle starts producing substances that can raise cholesterol, it can cause problems with insulin, it can cause inflammation, it even changes our appetite, it makes us eat more.
Right.
So it's a very different fat and a very different risk to our health if it sits around the middle.
And tell me, very briefly, is it possible to shift isolated bits of fat? So if you have a muffin top, like I do, can you target shifting that, or you know, do you have to just generally lose fat and weight?
I would have to say for fat around the middle, you can. You wouldn't do it if you've got bingo wings or something like that. That would be hard. But this has gone on for a different reason, and it's being driven mainly by the hormone cortisol, which is the hormone that comes out with adrenaline. It's one of our stress hormones. Mm. So it's a message to the body to actually store fat around the middle because it's close to our liver and major arteries, so our body can get at that fat store easily.
Right. Okay.
So it's a different mechanism of why it's going on than just overeating, and it does mean you can target it and get rid of it. How?
The answer to that is to read the book.
Well, you could come to the talk, but you'll miss that one.
Yeah.
And the way people can know, so a simple one for the listeners, is they get out a tape measure.
Okay.
They measure their waist and they measure the hip. Divide the hip measurement into the waist, and for a woman you want to be less than 0.8. For a man you've got a bit more leeway, less than 0.95, and then you'd know whether you've got too much fat around the middle. Easy way to do it.
I think I know already.
I think I do as well.
Marilyn, it's a fascinating subject. I just want to touch on the last book that you've got here, and I know you've got lots more books, which is Natural Solutions to Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Yes.
Just go over that a little bit.
Well, this is an allergy show, obviously, and a free from, so people are looking for ways of helping any kind of digestive issues. Mm. And IBS is very common. It's almost as common, well, it is more common than the common cold for people to take days off work.
Mm.
And it's very debilitating, and I think the problem is that it's almost, well, it is a diagnosis of exclusion. Everything else has been ruled out, and then they're just left with this diagnosis where you've got irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
And the bowel is irritable, and the question is always why?
Yeah.
Why is it irritable? Is it foods that are irritating it? Is there some situation going on in the digestive system? So it's very common. It changes people's quality of life. We've had people carrying extra clothes with them because they're worried about an attack of diarrhoea. So it does affect their quality of life, and yet there are simple solutions to help with it.
Fantastic. Marilyn, we could talk to you all day.
Yes,
fascinating lady. We're going to come and listen to some of your talks here at the show. I know you have clinics both in Harley Street and Tunbridge Wells.
Yes.
But if the general audience want to find out more about you, do you have a website where
they can go on to marilynglenville.com. It's all educational and it covers all of the information about female health and health generally. So they can download anything they need.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Dr. Marilyn Glenville, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show.
Thank you.
And we've just met a lovely lady called Dr. Britt Cordy. Hello, Britt, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Cool, lovely to meet you. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you, a bit about your background, because you've got quite an interesting background. You're a doctor of molecular biology, I think.
Yes, that's right. That's how I started this.
Wow. Yeah, so I don't even know what that is.
I think she can tell us. We'll give us a breather.
Yeah. So it means that I've studied the scientific research behind enzymes and molecules, DNA. And
okay.
I did that first on birds and bird blood, would you believe it?
Wow. Yeah.
And then later on the actual enzymes. And it's actually the same structure that we have molecularly to birds and other animals.
Sure.
So we're very similar to them. So what affects them affects us.
Okay.
And one of the really important things with food is that we have it as raw and as live as possible. And this is exactly what I did my PhD in.
Wow, okay, cool. So tell us, what's the name of your business at
Live Wheatgrass, and our website is livewheatgrass.com.
Cool. Okay, so you're Live Wheatgrass. So tell us a little bit about the formation of your business, what inspired you to start it, and then tell us a little bit about what you do.
So about 20 years ago, I saw this green stuff with my a girlfriend of mine, and I thought, oh my gosh, green is the color of health. I must try this. And it was the sharpest and deepest green I've ever seen. So I started reading up on it and actually simply started growing it myself. So that's over 20 years ago.
And this is wheatgrass.
And that is the wheatgrass. Since then, I've then started the company with my husband, and we are growing it as the only company in the UK and in fact in the whole of Europe outside on organic fields.
Really?
Yes.
Because there are other companies that have wheatgrass, aren't there?
Yes, that's right.
Where do they grow their...
Well, some of these companies will grow it in their greenhouses inside.
Okay.
And
when
they do that, it takes just 10 days to grow, which is really fast. It's hyper-accelerated, which means it's full of sugar. Whereas ours, when it's growing outside, you're using the organic soil. So
you
have very deep roots.
Okay.
And it takes 2 to 3 months to grow.
So you've got this product, you're growing it, you're the one of the only organisations in Europe doing so. And what are you doing with the product when you've got it? How do you process it from the field to the pot, as it were?
Yeah, so because of my scientific background, I've obviously done some research on this. The process that we have developed is called the plant opto process. And it simply means that we have optimized every link from the moment we drill it, sow it, to the moment we then harvest it, juice it, and then freeze it. All of those steps in the process have been optimized for the one purpose of creating a product which has got all of the nutrients that you can possibly imagine in there.
Amazing.
And so it is therefore what we would call the number one superfood.
Okay, so it's a superfood. If you were trying to get me to be more healthy, which is a good thing, and I need help with doing that, what would you say to me about this product? Is it something I should use as a replacement for the kind of things that I'm eating, or as a supplement, or as a bit of both?
Well, it depends what you want to do with your health goals. So if you are already healthy and eating well and you feel healthy, you can use it as a supplement.
Right.
So you would take it first thing in the morning, one shot, one little cup, and you mix it in with apple juice or any other smoothies. And when you do that, you will find that your blood sugar levels stabilize, so you won't have the cravings that you would normally have.
Okay.
Your energy goes up throughout the day. And your skin begins to really improve, so you get very, very nice skin. Your digestive
problems. She's got nice skin.
I'm just looking at it as you said that.
I haven't got nice skin. She's got nice skin.
Well, I have taken it for a little while,
and
it really does work. We actually have 110% health guarantee, and it means that if you don't feel any health benefits within 1 month of taking it, you get your money back and 10% on top.
Wow.
Yeah, because I don't really want to...
You are.
Yes, and I don't want to sell the wheatgrass. I want to offer it. I want the wheatgrass to sell itself every day to every one of our customers.
Cool.
And that's a lovely place for me to be, because I know it works.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. So you've got a bottle here on the table, which is Cleans Juice, it says, barley grass juice.
It's
tell us a bit about that.
It's a lovely green colour, isn't it?
It is very green, isn't it? Yeah.
That's because in addition to our wheatgrass, and we have also other products like barley grass juice, we have kale juice, we have beetroot juice, and we have in Elixir that is produced from berries. But in addition to those, we also have 6 detox programs. So these programs are for people who are in a little bit of a hurry and might not want to juice for themselves every day. They want to do a detox for 3, 5, or 7 days and really kind of cleanse their skin, cleanse their liver, revitalize. And they might not have the time to do that. So we have our detox programs. And what you're looking at, the bottle here, is the ready-made, perfect, top quality detox program. This one, and I'll just look at it, has got barley grass juice in it, cinnamon, cucumber, celery, lemon, and apple. And it's all organic, obviously, freshly juiced. And so that would replace a meal.
Wow. That would replace a meal.
What you will find, which is so interesting, people think that you're going to feel really hungry, and but you don't. And what happens very often is that we overeat, but we are undernourished.
Yeah.
Now, when you take something like that, that has got an enormous amount of nutrients in it. It's got very, very high B12, which gives you energy, concentration. It's very high on B5. There's 5 times the amount of B5 than you would normally have in a banana you have in here. And very, very few calories. So you end up giving yourself this huge vitamin, mineral, amino acid, and enzyme boost.
Yeah.
And you will really feel that. And you won't have the cravings, and you won't go hungry to bed.
Well, I'm going to try. I'd like to try some now.
We've got four little pots here that Dr. Britt has set out.
Okay.
Are they all the same, Britt?
Yes. So this is the one where, this is a very basic one. This is with our wheatgrass, and we've just added a little bit of apple juice to it.
Okay.
And it's just for you to try. And after, we can try the detox program, if you like. What do you think about the taste, by the way?
Well, it surprised me, because I'm looking at it, it's a green colour. I'm thinking, I'm not sure what it's going to taste like. when I tasted it, it's very fruity. I can taste lots of fruit in it.
Yeah. I really like it. Yeah. It feels, you know when you eat spinach and you feel like it's doing you good?
Yeah.
Mm. It feels like that to me.
Sure.
It feels,
Now, what will happen when you take such a cup in the morning?
Yeah.
Within about 30 minutes to 3/4 hour, you will get an energy boost. You go, whoa, what happened here? Sometimes it's almost like I'm lifting from my chair. It's like, whoa, what happened here?
Okay, so what we've just sampled here is wheatgrass mixed with a little bit of apple juice.
Yeah. That's correct.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a go after the show, definitely. Yeah.
Do you want
to try? So where can we buy this from?
You can buy it from livewheatgrass.com, L-I-V-E, wheatgrass.com.
Okay. Lovely.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us, Britt. It's been really interesting talking to you. Lovely product. Enjoyed the taste.
I did
enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of the weekend at the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you had a wander around, Chrissy?
I have, yeah. I've seen a few things that have piqued my interest. So,
I can see that, and you've brought one of them back.
I have. I've bought Jonathan.
You've bought Jonathan from Savvy Foods. Hello, Jonathan. Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. You've got some lovely products that you brought along, some Oz Carib nibbles and things like that. Yes. Tell us a little bit about Savvy Foods and what you do.
Well, it goes back over 25 years ago when I was in Turkey travelling around. I just kept coming across this amazing dish of carob syrup and tahini, which is pulped sesame, as many people know. Mm. And they mix it together and it's like a sweet, nutritious dip.
Right, okay.
And it's everywhere, and people, the Turkish people, they dip bread into it, and it's a lovely communal family thing, but I could never find it in the UK. I always had to make my own.
Okay.
And then just a few years ago, Katie, my wife, suggested, so it's all her fault. And
Katie,
yeah, we put some in a jar and stick a label on it. So we did a year or two on a farmer's market circuit, and come a long way since then.
Absolutely.
So when was that?
2013, we incorporated the business.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about carob. I mean, I think most people are aware of it. You know, we've seen it now.
Yeah.
Especially in health food shops, you see carob bars and things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't really know actually what it is.
Well, it's actually a legume, so it's in the bean family, it looks like a runner bean when it's on the tree.
Okay.
But it goes brown and then falls off onto the ground. They're not actually trees; they're bushes.
Right.
But there's a high nutritional value to them, and they're known particularly in Spain and the Mediterranean countries as an animal feed, because the seed actually inside the pod is inedible, and that's used as a massive commodity. It's called locust bean gum, and it's used as a thickener, food thickening agent, also in skincare products.
Right.
But what in the Mediterranean area, what they've not actually cottoned onto so far is the nutritional value of the actual pod for human beings.
Right.
And there was obviously a lot of people remember carob in the 70s as a chocolate substitute.
Yeah.
We've tasted the Mediterranean varieties, and they don't compare to our variety, which is grown in Australia, specifically by our farmer who chose the sweetest varieties.
Okay.
Interestingly, he sent his seeds off to locust bean companies in the Med, and they weren't any good.
Right. Okay.
For that purpose, okay. But the pods are fantastic. They taste great, and they've got all that nutrition.
And they've got that extra sweetness in.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they've got a very high sugar content, but it's low GI. It's got high fiber, so it's not. You don't get that sugar peak and trough like you would with.
So it's better for you.
Yeah. It's like a sustained energy, healthy snacks.
Fantastic. So you're sourcing your carobs from Australia.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about the products that you're making it into.
Okay, so first we launched with a range of spreads using the syrup, which we mixed with tahini, as I said, about the Turkish dip. Mm. We added a bit of cocoa. That was one of my daughter's ideas. Fantastic. We've got a chocolate spread that's actually good for you.
Right.
And that's a strap line, and it's great to be able to tell people that. I mean, a lot of people don't believe it. And then we've got the original one, which is just 50-50. Almost carob and tahini, and then we've got the date one as well, which we branched off. And then what happened, this Australian farmer approached us a year and a half ago and asked us to try his carob, and then we found it so sweet and so lovely tasting, we swapped our supplier to him. But also he supplies us now with the raw powder, right. The raw pods and the kibble or nibble or chips, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But it's purely the pieces of carob broken down and used, actually eaten neat and used, you know, okay. As an energy.
You've got some here, haven't you?
Yes. So, Jonathan, you've got a couple of pots with lovely-looking stuff in.
So Kezia's made some smoothies this morning. She's been on the blender before breakfast this morning. And she made blueberry, get this right, blueberry, banana, tahini, carob, obviously, and rice milk.
Right.
So that's a smoothie made with our carob.
Can I try that?
Yeah, helps off.
Can I have a go as well, please? Yes.
Oh, all right.
Don't
then.
Keep it all to yourself.
No, here you go.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm liking that. I got a big hit of banana out of that as well. Mm. Mm. That's gorgeous.
Good.
No, I could actually have some of that.
It's not too sweet, is it?
It's not. It's perfect. Yeah.
So, cool. So this is, I mean, up until recently, I wasn't really into smoothies, but I can see the benefits now. You know, it's a lovely, nutritious.
That's gorgeous.
Drink.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Yep.
And then you've got some Oz carob nibbles.
Yes.
These are new products. If you want to jump in.
Well, this is, as I said, this is the actual pod, just the pure pods broken down into. They call it kibble. We call it nibble. You can call it chips. Mm. And that's
purely the dried pod.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, piece of the pod. There you go.
Is that some of it?
Try that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay. A little bit of cocoa update, if it was.
It
like,
is.
Texture wise, not taste.
It's surprising because you think when I looked at it in the pot, I thought either that's going to be quite hard, and I don't know if my teeth are going to take it.
It's not.
But it's not.
It's got a chewiness, hasn't it?
It's got a chewiness, but it's got a substance to it. I've only had a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, but I'm still chewing it. There's a lot packed in a little there, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, it's great.
That's interesting.
I do actually really like it. The texture's quite similar to coconut, like to.
No, I don't like it. Coconut. I'm just finishing it because I have to.
But it's not, again, like the smoothie, not too sweet, but just like a nice little chewy nibble.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can compare it to.
No.
You know, we're looking at nuts and raisins, you know, little mixed bags.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when you look at it, it's not that appealing to look at. You know, and there's a lot, there's such a visually orientated culture.
It looks a little bit like sticks, doesn't it?
Yeah, bits of bark. My kids go, I'm not eating bark.
A tree.
Yeah, you know, but then you get over that and you've got something sweet and nutritious.
But it's interesting. It's interesting you say that, though. My old dad, bless him, is 88. And on his birthday, I have to go far and wide to find him sticks of licorice. Proper real licorice twigs. So you say about eating bark, but back in the day they used to eat twigs and bark quite naturally because that's
that
the natural food.
Exactly.
And you'd see that as quite novel now, and I remember as a kid being able to buy it in the local herbalist shop and you know, chewing on that is quite fun, really.
Absolutely. I really like that.
So do I.
I'm a snack fan because I'm a grazer kind of eater.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. I don't like crisps because they're not healthy for you or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I eat a fair amount of nuts and seeds, but again, it gets a bit sandy. That's different, and I really like that.
Well, you can have that bag.
Oh, thank you.
Well blagged, Paul.
So, Jonathan, at the moment, how are you supplying this to the market?
Well, we started out by getting into about 100 independents, and then we switched to wholesalers, obviously. For logistics, got into Sumo, Health Store, and then we approached Whole Foods and Ocado. We're now in Whole Foods.
Right, okay.
Ocado and Holden Barrett, we're in the process of setting that up. They both accepted it.
Fantastic. Is it possible to buy it online?
Yes, of course. Yeah, you can get, if you search for us on Amazon or our own website, we've got our own store as well.
Give us a shout for your website.
Savvyfoods.co.uk.
Savvyfoods.co.uk. That's yeah. SAVVY.
That's right.
Savvyfoods.co.uk. Check it out. It's really nice stuff. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk
Show.
Thank you.
It's
been brilliant.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was us. That was the Food Talk crew at the Allergy and Free From show at Olympia last week. And they were the first of the three interviews that we had, and some interesting people with some interesting stuff. I'm not sure about my story about twigs, mind.
Everyone used to eat them.
Yeah. Yeah, we all used to eat twigs. Yeah. I meant licorice twigs is what I meant.
Sticks, yeah.
Licorice sticks. Anyway, I mean, it was an interesting show, wasn't it? Did you get a chance to wander around it?
I did. I went round the show a couple of times whilst we were there in the short breaks that we had. What I really liked about the show was the buzz of it. It had a really nice buzz.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah. And I think it was the visitors that made it, because these are people that sometimes by choice and sometimes not by choice have had to really restrict their diets.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They were like kids in sweet shop, like going around.
Literally,
and
sometimes, and
finding stuff that they can actually eat. So the cakes that they can't normally have, the chocolates and, you know, the bread and all bits. And I think that really just added to the buzz of it.
Absolutely. I met a really nice lady from Ghana.
Did you?
Yeah. And she smeared me with butter.
Bizarre.
Yeah, no, she did.
Oh, yes, the creams.
Yeah, did you see?
Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, what a lovely lady she was.
I thought you were going somewhere with a joke then or something.
No. She literally did smear me with
butter.
A butter. It was skin butter on my hands, that made my hands all soft and lovely.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there was some makeup there, and there was all sorts, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. It was a huge, huge show. As you say, there were 35,000 visitors there.
Amazing.
I've no idea how many stands. I didn't count them all. There's a few hundred.
I did. Hold on. I think it was 271.
Yeah.
I've got that down here.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. 271 stands. A lot of stands. I went for a walkabout and got lost. I couldn't find my way back to the stand. Did you have the same problem?
Yes, I did. Every time I went to the loo, I couldn't find my way back.
Absolutely. And it was like leaving bits of cotton and string so that I could follow it back, but I kept getting lost still anyway.
And loads of free samples. Let's not forget the free samples.
Well, that was the distracting thing, wasn't it? As you were walking around, people would walk out in front of you and go, try one of these, and you go, oh, only one then.
Yeah.
And then you kind of forget where you were, because you go, oh, that was nice.
And you have a little chat with them, and everyone was really friendly and nice. Yeah. And it was also really nice to see so many people, so many businesses starting up around those sectors, wasn't it? You know, problem solving for whatever reasons. And some of the people we interviewed had some quite inspiring stories, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it's a huge industry, the food industry. And food tech, and just the way that we consume food, everybody has suddenly become much more aware of what they're eating and what's actually in the food that they're eating.
Definitely.
And for a long time, we didn't pay attention to that. As long as it was cheap and we could get it in a supermarket, we bought it. And I think one of the big catalysts, not the main thing, but one of the big catalysts was the old horse meat lasagna thing.
Yes.
And I think that woke a lot of people up to start going, well, exactly what is in the stuff that we're buying. So it's interesting. So a lot of these people are looking at that and using natural ingredients and natural products. I tell you what, though, Christy, I had a really interesting lunch.
Oh, yes, you did. I saw you eating that.
Yeah.
What was it again?
It was a raw pizza.
I saw a lot of raw food as well whilst I was there. That seems to be a big thing at the
moment. That's a big thing, raw food. But I had a raw pizza. Actually, I have to say, off-air listener, I was giving it large about some of these things not being particularly filling when I was eating them. But that really did fill me up. And I can't really describe what it's like. The base was kind of made of seeds and I don't know.
It looked, I did see you eating it. It looked a little bit like a rye bread. You know the German pumpernickel?
Yeah, yeah. It had that consistency, yeah, but it wasn't bread. It wasn't bread. But it was made of seeds and stuff like that. And they made it into a kind of, this is going to sound horrible, but it wasn't horrible. It was actually very palatable. It was a kind of loose base, and then there were just raw ingredients on the top, vegetables and some sauces and stuff. It was actually incredibly filling. Yeah. Now, I kind of enjoyed eating it. I'm here to tell you that I couldn't eat it more than once or twice a week. I wouldn't like to live on it for every meal, kind of thing.
No.
But for a fresh, healthy meal now and again, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, a bit of variety. That's what you need.
And it certainly was very filling. It was. So there was some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, it really was.
And you could get all kinds of things, you know, from whatever they call it. Is it corn? Corn sausages and all that?
Yeah, meat-free for the vegetarians. Because the V-Show, because it wasn't just the allergy and free from, it was allergy and free from V-Show and...
vegan stuff.
Something,
and,
something like that.
Yeah.
There was all sorts of bits, snacks.
There was a whole range of amazing stuff, just loads of different stuff.
Yeah, I found it interesting walking around.
Those shows are good fun, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
So we met a couple more people in the afternoon, didn't we? Should we have a listen to them and see what they had to say?
Yes.
Christine and I have had a fabulous day so far. We tasted loads and loads of food, haven't we?
A right old mix of food as well.
A very odd mix, back-to-back different stuff. But then Christy ate all the popcorn.
No, I didn't.
Oh, no, it wasn't you, it was me. Okay, yeah. Cool. We've been interviewing some really interesting people, and we've got another young lady that's just joined us now, Danielle from Quinola. Danielle, welcome to the Food Talk Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to start your business?
So when I first moved to London, I was quite young, I was 18, I started cooking for myself and having to look after myself and make my own dietary choices, so I became a lot more aware of what I was eating. And I started a career in modelling, so I had to keep quite fit.
I don't understand how she did that, do you? No.
Yeah, it's a mystery. But to keep in shape for that, for my career basically, I changed my diet, so I cut out gluten and grains. And sugars, and up until then I was obsessed with granola. I was eating it for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and thinking it was really healthy, and then I think when I first looked at the back of the packet I was just shocked at how much sugar was in it. So
it's interesting, isn't it, because we don't always realise that, and it turns out with something like that it's probably the packet was more nutritious than the actual granola.
Yeah, yeah, I mean it has such a healthy image, but it tricks you. So I just decided to start doing a lot more research. Like that, I think, inspired me to just kind of look into what I was eating a lot more in general. And then, so I started making most of my food from scratch, including granola. I didn't want to eat oats and gluten anymore, so I just started experimenting with things like buckwheat and quinoa. And then the quinoa just kind of stuck. I felt like it gave me a lot of energy. It was high in protein and fiber. It was the tastiest thing I was kind of experimenting with. So, I just started making it in my kitchen, and then...
So you had this kind of epiphany where you discovered that what you were eating was actually rubbish, even though you thought it was good.
Despite all the hype.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
And then you looked at producing your own. Mm-hmm. At what point did you say to yourself, do you know what, I've got a product here that I could actually make for somebody else? What point did you come to the point where you said, well, I'm happy now, I've made myself something that I enjoy eating, and now I'm going to be a businesswoman as well as a model?
I don't know, I think, well, for me it was more the people around me that were kind of encouraging me, because I was just sort of happy making it by myself at home.
Yeah.
For the odd customer, most people were requesting it through Instagram at first, just when I posted a photo about it. And then my friends, my boyfriend at the time, my dad, they were like, wow, this is quite a good idea, people are really interested. And then the more I looked around and in a, like, local shops, there was just nothing like it. So I think I just thought, and as a model I had quite a bit of spare time, like a few castings for the day, and then I had the afternoon free, so I thought I may as well just give it a go in my spare time. And then started.
It's gone from there.
Yeah, took off really.
Absolutely. So when did you kind of become this businesswoman, this food producer? How long has it been?
I guess probably. Well, we launched officially in 2014.
Right.
And it went into like a small deli in London. But I was still modelling a lot then, so it was just kind of on the side. So I guess really officially probably the end of 2014, beginning of 2015, I really gave it my all, working on it full time, and we had Selfridges to sort of keep up with, so I really wanted to make sure I was delivering.
That's an amazing achievement to get in at Selfridges.
Absolutely,
It changed everything really for me, because it was my first proper stockist, and I think it made me realise how many people were interested in health nowadays and other options.
So I'm fascinated by this whole process of how you did this. So you started sourcing things, forgive the way I talk about this, but you've knocked it all together, you put it in a bowl, you got a bag of stuff, and you think that tastes nice and it's pretty healthy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And now I'm gonna flog it to Selfridges and they're gonna buy it and off you go.
Just like that. It's so easy.
Because it obviously wasn't like that. I'm interested in that whole process of how you progressed through. Do you still make it yourself, or do you outsource it? How does it work?
Yeah, so I started off in my kitchen at home, and then I think maybe a few months after that, I moved into a commercial kitchen to sort of scale up and make it on a bigger size. I hired my first employee, so that was someone helping me bake and package and distribute to the stores, and then in August of 2015 we found a manufacturer. So after quite a while of kind of looking and testing the recipes with different manufacturers, we found one that works for us in the UK. Still, it's all handmade still, so it's really good, but that has allowed us to sort of progress and develop the brand and develop the product range, and it's just more of a realistic kind of business model, because I'm not just sat on my kitchen floor at home.
But it's a very difficult thing to do. Lots of people develop foodstuffs and food products based on their own preferences and their own needs, their own health wants, and they can make some really fantastic artisan products, but getting that from a kitchen table operation to a commercial operation is really one of the hardest things to do. It's really difficult, because you've got to do things on a much bigger scale whilst retaining the original quality that made people like Selfridges want to buy the product.
The quality, the taste.
Where are we now in terms of the product range that you've got?
So at the moment, we're still just focusing on the granolas in stores. We have a full range of 6 flavours. We rotate seasonal flavours. So at the moment, we've got a mixed berry flavour for the summer. And then in the winter, we introduce vanilla chai and chocolate orange around sort of just the lead up to Christmas.
Right.
And then we've developed some kind of... We're developing clusters, and we were going to do a bar, but we've decided that kind of clusters is a bit more unique.
Yeah.
And then we're developing some drinks, powders, just for our website, our online shop, some other products in the future, which I can't really talk about, but just mainly breakfast.
Secrets.
Top secret.
Christy, secrets.
I want the secret. it sounds absolutely brilliant. And like, what a story to start a couple of years ago, just doing it in your kitchen, pop it on Instagram. It just shows what social media can do, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And the people that are already stuck in your product, a lot of producers around here would die for that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I think so, also because it was amazing to have Selfridges, and when it first happened I was like, this is great. This is crazy.
Without giving anything away, how did you do that? How did you pull that off?
I think I emailed them to ask if they wanted samples, and I was just so lucky that they replied, and they were like, yeah, our team has already tried the products, we love them, and we'll get in touch soon.
You can't ask them more than that, really, can you?
No.
But it does show you, though, and Danielle is proof of the pudding, that basically you just got to ask.
Yeah.
You know, so many people will sit there and wait for something to happen, and it doesn't. You actually only have to ask. Now, it's not always going to pan
old,
out for you.
Don't ask, don't get, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
You kind of have to just try. Like, there's really, when it's your own business, there's really not too much to lose. All you can get is a no, and Yeah. Some people I've met in the industry have been really inspiring. They're like, you just keep going, keep nagging until they want it, until they buy it. And I've not been like that because I'm just naturally not that kind of person. But it's really inspiring just to think, like, you've got to go out there. And I tend to meet buyers so that they actually understand the story and get to know me and the brand rather than just sending a few samples.
That's a really very, very relevant thing that you just said. People will buy into the story. They'll buy into the back catalogue, if you like, how you got to where you got to. Because without being funny, and you know, a lot of products are fairly similar.
Yeah.
And you know, granola's granola until you've found a different one.
Yeah.
So therefore, when you say, well, I make granola, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But when they hear a backstory and they like the sound of the story, it makes them want to try what you're doing and going, oh, actually, this is really healthy stuff. This is really good stuff. This is what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
So the whole story thing is a really important part of marketing these days. So what's the plan from here?
So we're just going to sort of develop the brand a little bit more. I kind of want it to be more than just a product that you just hand someone and tell them it's healthy. We're really into educating people about why it's good for you, and also just how our tagline is wake up well. So we kind of want to encourage people to wake up well, but not just on a nutritional level, not just because if you eat quinoa you're gonna canola you're gonna wake up well. We want to kind of, we're holding some mindful events, so morning events where we provide a good breakfast and some kind of meditation or yoga or something. So we want to develop it as more of an all-encompassing brand rather than just eat this or be healthy.
almost a whole healthy lifestyle kind of thing. Well, Danielle, good stuff. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to try some of this at some point.
Okay. Grab some of it.
Yeah.
Try it.
If we want to find out more about you and your product, have you got a website or Facebook page?
Yeah, we've got an online shop with lots of information, which is www.quinola.co.uk. That's Q-N-O-L-A.
Yeah.
And we have Instagram, which is Quinola UK, and Twitter. And I have my personal Instagram as D Copperman, which I do a lot of like foodie recipes and things like that. So
fantastic.
Great.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for joining us on the Food Talk Show.
Okay, have a good day.
And you
too.
Cheers. Well, we're wending our way towards the end of day one here at the Allergy and Food Free Show.
Yep, and what a day one it's been.
It's been brilliant, hasn't it, Christy? It really has. We've met some fantastic people, some really interesting stuff going on at the show here. And we've got the Food Talk Show here at a pop-up radio station.
We have.
And we've been meeting loads of lovely people. And we've got another young lady that's joined us to tell us all about what she's up to. Caroline, welcome onto the Food Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Caroline and your business?
Yeah,
of course. You've got a fantastic t-shirt. Keep calm and bite happy.
Bite happy.
I love it.
Bite happy. Tell us about Bite Happy. So Bite Happy is a worldwide restaurant search for people with food allergies and intolerances. It basically helps people find places to eat, whether they're in England or worldwide, travelling. We've got all the chains on, of course, but we also have lots of independents, which I think is really important, because whether your lifestyle with gluten-free or whether you've got an allergy intolerance, there's lots of different restaurants that people want to go to. The app also has free translation, so when you go abroad, you can just show the waiter, like, I can't eat nuts or I can't eat gluten or I'm a vegan.
What a fantastic idea, because it must be quite difficult.
Mm. Really difficult. Mm. I think it's the communication sometimes people have real problems with, so they might have my app and they can find the restaurant, but when they get into the restaurant, they can't communicate what they actually want to eat.
Exactly. And I don't know what it's like now, but a few years ago, in some places that you went abroad, they really didn't actually take it very seriously either.
No, they didn't. And actually, some places still don't take it very seriously. Yeah. And people are like, oh, will you actually be ill? I mean, I'm a celiac myself, so people are like, will you actually be ill if I put bread on your plate and just remove it? And it's like, yes, I will be very ill. So, you need to make something from scratch. And I think that comes from education.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of places aren't very educated, and the staff need educating. And I think that's obviously become a massive thing since the regulations happened in December 2014.
And I think an app like yours will make a huge, huge difference with something like that. If you walked into a restaurant somewhere and you showed someone an app and you went, look at that, that's what I want, or you translated it, they're going to take you far more seriously. That you've got an app that says, I can't eat that.
Yeah.
They're going to go, Well, to go to that length, there must be a reason why you can't eat that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think now that with the added value of us adding menus on as well, yeah. I think it's really important because people can see what they can actually eat before they get to the restaurant. Because, you know, sometimes people are like, yeah, we do gluten-free, but you get there and it's like the chicken salad.
Or, yeah, rice cake.
And you're kind of like, want a few more options. So,
yeah. No, absolutely. And funnily enough, we've had quite a few discussions, obviously, about that with various people with their various food offerings. And it is rather silly, isn't it? Because with all kinds of things, vegetarianism, gluten-free, all kinds of allergies, it's not as if people that don't have those problems can't eat the food.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, we could, you know, you go into a restaurant and they have one offering for a vegetarian, or you say, I'm gluten-free, and they'll go, oh, well, we'll scrape that off the chicken then, or something.
Yeah.
And you think, why? Why would you do that? But it's not as if nobody else could eat the food.
Well, exactly. And I think the thing is now, I think people panic when you say that, you know, make me a gluten-free dish, but actually, you don't even have to buy anything free from. You can actually make it all from fresh.
Yeah.
So you can make green eye salad, you can make pizzas yourself, you can make cauliflower mash. There's so many things that you can make.
And
I think people panic because they think, oh, you know, I can't use flour here. So, well, you know, you can use corn flour instead, or you could use potato flour. Or, you know, there's so many different ways that we can get around this.
I have a good friend who's a chef and who's also a celiac. Yeah.
Right.
And we go to a restaurant, and she says, "I'm gluten free," and they'll go, "Oh, well, chef hasn't got this or that," and she'll go, "It says on your menu that everything's made fresh."
Exactly.
And they go, yeah. And she said, would you like me to come in the kitchen to show you how to make fresh food then?
That's brilliant.
So it's indicative, isn't it, of what you're actually being served across the board. Tell us about this app. What made you start it? How did you start it? When did you start it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually lived in the Middle East for a long time, and I moved back to be with my boyfriend, and we were actually in Amsterdam travelling. And I've been a celiac since I was 17, so a long time now. And with that, I have a lactose intolerance, which comes and goes, so I can tolerate lactose a little bit, and then it kind of, so it's an intolerance that comes and goes.
Is that because it builds up?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I think it is because it builds up, and sometimes my body can take it, sometimes my body can't. Sure. And I can't take a lot of it, but I do go through periods of being able to have, you know, bits of lactose. So we were in Amsterdam trying to find somewhere to eat, and I couldn't try and find somewhere on Google that was like gluten free and lactose free, and it was just a nightmare, and I ended up crying and like couldn't find anywhere. And and it was
that always helps, I find.
Yeah,
a bit of crying.
Yeah, the crying
and foot stamping, nobody gets it sorted.
Yeah, it
does, yeah. And it was my boyfriend actually who said, like, why don't you create something that helps people find places to eat, like wherever they go, because we always had this problem. I thought, you know what, that's a really, really good idea, because although there's people doing apps out there for gluten-free, which are fantastic, there's no one that actually collectively does the 14 allergens, vegan, veggie, kosher, halal. So that was it, really. So I just thought, right, I'm going to go with it. No one's done it. It's a great idea. It will help people. So I just went with it. So I spent a few months kind of researching, and then I found a development company in Brighton called DabApps, who really helped me build it, and they did all the coding, and we worked really closely with designs. And then I launched it in October 2014, and then in December 2014, obviously the EU regulations of allergens came out, so it was kind of a really big talking point. So it was really good timing, but not on purpose.
How did you plan that?
I know,
Caroline. I am impressed with this lady. She got the entire EU to promote her app. That's fantastic. So that was 2014. So you had the app developed.
Yes.
How are you sourcing the places? How are you adding the data to the actual app itself?
Exactly. Good question. So obviously all restaurants is public information. So I actually, with a team, we handpicked the database. So we have over 45,000 restaurants manually gone through.
So you're like doing a Michelin star kind of thing on them by researching all these places.
Exactly. And we do update that. We go through it every kind of 6 months. We make sure that we take off any closed restaurants or any new ones that have opened. Wow. Obviously, we can't do everything. team, but we try as much to get as many on there as possible.
That's a big operation, though, sure.
It was a lot of late nights, a lot of time before we launched, and obviously it's still ongoing, it's continuing, so, you know, if we ever do get a free time, that is what we do, and there's members of the team that do that.
Presumably, as people become more and more familiar with it, you're going to get people self-selecting, though, people opening restaurants and contacting you and saying, can we be added?
Exactly, I mean, that's the dream. I mean, people do that already, and people come and find me at shows like this, and they say, we want to be on it, how do we get on it? And I'm like, absolutely, this is how we do it. And, you know, people, all restaurants are listed for free as well. There is an option to upgrade for a business account, but for me, everybody needs that information, and it's public information. Yeah. So, and we also go through all the allergen menus. We qualify it, and then we send an email to the restaurant, and we just say, this is what we are, this is what we're doing, these are the allergens, we've got you under ads, if you've got any issues, please contact us, and then we work it from there. So,
okay, now, having read your t-shirt,
yes,
and it says, buy Appy with buy Appy, the problem is, I'm a Londoner, so when I say those two things, there's no difference in the pronunciation, because I don't pronounce the H's anyway. So, buy Appy is actually without the H.
Yeah, so it's how you say happy.
It's how I say Appy, which is very true. So, buy Appy with a buy Appy. At the moment, so if we want to download that app, where can we get it?
So, it's available on iOS, so from the App Store, and on Android, so Google Play.
Okay.
It's also a website, and it's free to download, of course. There's also a website, which is www.biteappy.com. And I also have a blog, which is blog.biteappy.com, and that's all recipes, free from everything I cook. It's something that came on the side of my business and has become extremely popular.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course.
Because I'm fascinated by the business of it, as well as the usefulness of it. It's an expensive thing to do, in terms of having an app developed, but more than that, I imagine the research and the adding to it.
Yes.
And you're giving it away for free.
Yes. So people don't like buying apps if they're paid for, so it has to be free.
Okay.
And I make my money in other ways, but I try not to monetize on the user.
Right,
because that's not. And although, you know, it's great to make money out of a business, but that's not what I set out to do. It was more about kind of making people feel safer when they're eating out.
I get that.
We do have people who advertise on the app, and they can contact me directly, but I'm very strict. I like free from brands or people who are related to, because for me, it's all about the interest.
So, yeah, absolutely.
You know, if I've got, you know, an advertiser on there doing gluten-free pizzas, that's great. But if I've got a dating app on there, then it's completely irrelevant.
Right, yeah.
So, so I'd be very picky.
No, we won't go there. No, you're absolutely right, and it's about being true to your community, isn't it? That's the key thing to it.
Exactly, and you know, I have my blog, and you know, there's lots of things I do, but I don't generally make money from the app
directly
itself,
from it.
You
know? Yeah, no, absolutely, and there's no reason to say that you should.
I think it just doesn't work.
It's one of those. I'm a businessman and I own a number of businesses, and so I kind of tend to think about things in that kind of way. So
we do.
Fantastic. I mean, what you've done is absolutely brilliant. Such a good idea.
Downloading it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just. It just makes life so easy, doesn't it?
Easier. I mean, people still have to be wary when they go to restaurants. I mean, if you have a child that's anaphylactic to nuts, and obviously, you know, and we do have disclaimers on there that please use it as a guide and don't take the information literally, because, you know, we don't want anybody to be in any sort of trouble when they're going to a restaurant. So we do make sure that everybody is very over-cautious when they eat out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it definitely, it's a big help, and it narrows things down.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To us. What a great app.
Give us a shout for your website as well, just so that people can find out about what you're doing.
Absolutely. So www.biteappy.com.
Bite Appy.
Bite Appy.
Bite Appy.com. I'm loving this. Or download the app, or do both.
Yes, please.
Caroline, thank you so much for joining us on the
Fit
Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the show. Well, there you go. Bite Appy. That was my favourite of the day. I thought that app's
absolutely brilliant.
She
really loved
it. She was lovely as well, wasn't she?
Caroline was a lovely lady, and the idea and the work and the effort that she put into that app was absolutely unbelievable, and it's such a useful app. I just love it. And
we had fantastic guests all day on Friday there, to be honest, didn't we? They were all great.
Yeah, we had loads and loads of fun at the show. It's been a pleasure to bring you guys some of the interviews that we did there and to hear from some of the innovative, lovely fruit producers that we got. But sadly, we're at the end of another Food Talk show.
Already?
Yeah, it's gone past really quickly, hasn't it? But it's been really good fun sharing our time with the Pop-Up Radio. We've got some more interviews coming up
next week
on future shows. So do stay tuned for that. But for the moment, a huge, huge thank you for listening to this week's Food Talk show with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Christy Ellis. And we were joined by Harry Wall, part of the crew, part of the team from our pop-up studio. But of course, we will be back with you at 4 p.m. next week. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you all again on the Food Talk show.
Bye.
Cheers.